Character Building Thought Power by Ralph Waldo Trine, published in 1900. Unconsciously, we are forming habits every moment of our lives. Some are habits of a desirable nature, and some are those of a most undesirable nature. Some, though not so bad in themselves, are exceedingly bad in their cumulative effects, and cause us at times much loss, much pain, and anguish, while their opposites would, on the contrary, bring as much peace and joy as well as a continually increasing power. Have we it within ourselves to determine at all times what types of habits shall take form in our lives? In other words, is habit-forming, character-building, a matter of mere chance, or have we it within our own control? We have entirely and absolutely. I will be what I will to be can be said, and should be said, by every human soul. After this has been bravely and determinedly said, and not only said but fully inwardly realized, something yet remains. Something remains to be said regarding the great law underlying habit-forming, character-building. For there is a simple, natural, and thoroughly scientific method that we should all know. A method whereby old, undesirable, earth-binding habits can be broken, and new, desirable, heaven-lifting habits can be acquired. A method whereby life in part or in its totality can be changed, provided one is sufficiently in earnest to know, and knowing it, to apply the law. Thought is the force underlying all. And what do we mean by this? Simply this: your every act, every conscious act, is preceded by a thought. Your dominating thoughts determine your dominating actions. In the realm of our own minds, we have absolute control, or we should have, and if at any time we have not, then there is a method by which we can gain control, and in the realm of the mind, become thorough masters. In order to get to the very foundation of the matter, let us look at this for a moment. For if thought is always parent to our acts, habits, character, life, then it is first necessary that we know fully how to control our thoughts. Here let us refer to that law of the mind, which is the same as is the law in connection with the reflex nerve system of the body, the law which says that whenever one does a certain thing in a certain way, it is easier to do the same thing in the same way the next time, and the next, and the next, until in time it comes to pass that no effort is required, or no effort worth speaking of, but on the opposite would require the effort. The mind carries with it the power that perpetuates its own type of thought, the same as the body carries with it, through the reflex nerve system, the power which perpetuates and makes continually easier its own particular acts. Thus, a simpler effort to control one's thoughts, a simple setting about it, even if at first failure is the result, and even if, for a time, failure seems to be the only result, will in time, sooner or later, bring him to the point of easy, full, and complete control. Each one, then, can grow the power of determining, controlling his thought, the power of determining what types of thought he shall and what types he shall not entertain. For let us never part in mind with this fact, that every earnest effort along any lines makes the end aimed at just a little easier for each succeeding effort, even if, as has been said, apparent failure is the result of the earlier efforts. This is a case where even failure is success, for the failure is not in the effort, and every earnest effort adds an increment of power that will eventually accomplish the end aimed at. We can then gain the full and complete power of determining what character, what type of thoughts we entertain. Shall we now give attention to some two or three concrete cases? Well, here is a man, the cashier of a large mercantile establishment, or cashier of a bank. In his morning paper, he reads of a man who has become suddenly rich, has made a fortune of $500,000 or $1,000,000 in a few hours through speculation on the stock market. Perhaps he has seen an account of another man who has done practically the same thing lately. He is not quite wise enough, however, to comprehend the fact that when he reads of one or two cases of this kind, he could find, were he to look into the matter carefully, 100 cases of men who have lost all they had in the same way. He thinks, however, that he will be one of the fortunate ones. He does not fully realize that there are no shortcuts to wealth honestly made. He takes a part of his savings, and as is true in practically all cases of this kind, he loses all that he has put in, thinking now he sees why he lost, and that had he more money, he would be able to get back what he has lost, and perhaps make a handsome sum in addition, and make it quickly. The thought comes to him to use some of the funds he has charge of. In 9 cases out of 10, if not 10 cases in every 10, the result